The Adam and Dr. Drew Show is brought to you by Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. You've got to check it out. Go today. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We do like that you share the show with people, right, Drew?
Yeah, we do.
What's going on, Drewski?
So, good news, STDs are climbing rapidly in Los Angeles.
Rapidly.
And there's been a weird, people have been bugging me to go do Loveline again, as though that would have an impact on, I don't know.
Why the climbing rapidly?
We don't know. People are just, as usual, they don't, the information doesn't change their behaviors. I think it's probably drugs and alcohol. It's probably lack of condom use. People are getting a little more reckless.
So once AIDS became something you could live with, they got a little faster and looser with the condoms.
Yeah.
And that's probably what happened.
And pre-exposure prophylaxis. Now you can take a pill that really reduces the AIDS risk, and people are getting a little cavalier about that. And then, of course, the LA Times wants to blame it on racism, which I found disturbingly problematic because it doesn't get at the issue that would help people. And
systemic literally what they racism said. Literally in the condom they said. Industry, Drew.
Yeah.
And with the school to penis pipeline, the school to urethra. The urethra to jail to prison pipeline.
Urethral pipeline.
Urethral pipeline to school.
Look.
STDs in L.A. County are skyrocketing. Officials think racism and stigma may be to blame.
Stigma's always been in there. It's because people are afraid to ask about it. People are afraid to get help.
Who are the officials that think racism is to stigma?
I'm going to read this. If you'll
well, here's the deal.
You know what's weird, too? It's like this. Somebody should tell the L.A. Times when you guys are this close to blaming shit on the chupacabra, in terms of your integrity, when I see these, when I got to hear stories about I Feel Pretty, the Amy Schumer movie, and it's like,
yeah.
Non-disabled person should get to play the part of a they're literally bringing in disabilities now, and they've jumped the shark to the point where nobody's even I don't even listen to the LA Times. If LA Times says something, I would tend to do the opposite or believe the opposite. I mean, LA Times should strictly just report on earthquakes and tsunamis now. And anything that involves an opinion is completely out the window.
It's pretty bad.
It's useless.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally giving op-ed pieces. Oh, I don't know if that, what if that teacher had a 44? Then one person died, then three. Would that be better than 15? Of course, it'd be quite a bit better in 15. You guys have completely jumped the shark. You should really just start talking about the fucking chupacabra because, you know what I like? I like when a Mexican guy is getting on a rant. He's like, hey, man, they've jumped it. It's perfect English, everything. They just got a chupacabra. They go right back into the thing. They cannot say chupacabra the way we do, the correct way. How can racism?
Okay, so here's
the point. You just start laughing now, right?
No, well, here's the deal. African Americans do have a higher issue with this. And part of the problem is they don't go to the medical system. They don't trust the medical system. So they get more complications. And this is that's factually true, but that's an issue of the medical community to rebuild trust with the African-American community here. And that's not racism.
Why do they need to rebuild trust with the African-American community?
Generally, African-Americans don't go to doctors.
Well, isn't that their fault? What's that the medical community?
Well, there's been times in history where doctors
the Tuskegee experiment from 1941.
I'm just saying, there's been.
Oh, shut up, Drew. You're fucking bad as they are.
All right.
If the African American community doesn't trust the medical community, then they should work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's not try to figure out a way to get the doctors to work on it. They're not going to work on it. They're sitting at a hospital. Let them figure it out.
All right.
Go ahead. Let the Maxine Waters handle this one.
All right.
She'll get taken care of.
The point is that
Drew, you're as bad as the Times.
whatever the distrust is built on, there is generally is a tend to take care of it from internally and family and church and things rather than certainly mental health services they're very unlikely to use. Yeah. But I think it's generally the case with medical services as well. And that's the issue. I mean, it's not racism. That's just a cultural issue.
Yeah.
And, you know,
who should work on it?
Listen, my profession likes to solve problems. If there's somebody that needs help, is not getting it for whatever reason, we sort of work on
how effective do you think you reaching out is going to be?
I don't know how you would do it even. Well, you need media. Maybe things like Love Line should come back and sort of try to rebuild a cultural change. That was my original idea with Love Line.
Gary, what was the story from the LA Times about STDs?
There's no
maybe
story.
Crabs are racist.
Let's see. Northover, which
think
is the
about
name
it.
Of one
nice
of
black pube patch versus a weird ginger, you know, where you'd really pop. You know what I mean? You'd be sussed out immediately in a ginger's patch. You know what I mean? So you get a nice black pube patch. You can go on for months. They may be racist.
What are you talking about?
Crabs.
Oh.
Racist.
Okay.
LA Times said crabs are racist.
Okay, got it.
Well, think about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Ed Sheeran, you'd be sussed. If you're in Ed Sheeran's pube patch.
This is something we've not visited in a long time. You guys ever heard Adam's crab story?
You know how quickly you'd be sussed out with the miniature comb?
Oh, wow.
What? My crab story?
They've heard
my crab story. Okay. All right.
Not recently, but yes.
It wasn't my crab.
I understand.
It's just a dude who I shared a bed with.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Officials need to evaluate what's called structural or systemic racism, the way housing or education policies may negatively impact people and their health. Studies have found, for example, that people with HIV who have low levels of literacy were less likely to follow their treatment, and that poorer Americans were more likely to engage in risky sexual behavior, increasing their risk of STD.
Okay. So that's not racism. That's
what about that guy from a few days ago called from Minnesota? Had a house, had a boarded out a room to a guy.
Yeah, Paul.
Swimming in dough? Seemed like a white guy. Would this affect him or his roommate? I think we're talking about poor people. It's, by the way, racist to assume that poor people are just black.
They're saying that, then that's racist.
No, what they're saying is this affects poor people at a higher ratio than it does the wealthy.
It's always been that way.
I got news for everyone. Everything affects poor people negatively. They live in worse neighborhoods. There's more violence in those neighborhoods. Guess whose cars are older and not as safe and don't have as many crumple zones and airbags? Guess who doesn't get top-notch medical? Guess who, and by the way, who are prioritizing eating over education and things like that. So guess who is affected by this disproportionately? Poor people. Everything negative, poor people. So then they do a math. Well, who has more poor people? Asian people or black people? And they go, Asian people. Okay, racist. That's not a great math if you're trying to solve a problem. Because then because now your math is flawed because you're saying racism. Okay. So it's racism, and our president is racist, and he's anti-Semitic, and he's homophobic, and everything like that. Okay. Now let's take that, and let's do some math. This affects poor people of color. Right. And then who else? Hispanic people. Next. Great. And then who else? White people. Next. Okay. And then who else? Asian. And then Jew. Oh, whoa, hold on. But at the Klan meeting. Shouldn't Whitey be on top? And then we'll get the Asian and the Jew underneath them? No. The Asian and the Jews focus more on family and education, so they're higher up. But wait a minute. This is called systemic racism. If it's going to be systemic racism, let's get Whitey up top and get the Asian and the Jew. And by the way, Africans who are born in Nigeria who've come here on their own, let's get them down at the bottom and get the white folk up top. And then what about the gay community? No, they're doing pretty good, too. Up, dup, 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 dup. What's the point in having these meetings? Let me explain racism. Whitey on top, not in the middle. I don't want an average gay couple's income to be higher than an average heterosexual white couple, number one. And I don't like these Asians and Jews hovering around at the top. So let's go ahead and as long as we're going to make it systemic, let's do it right. Now, why is it, Drew? I've never really had a clear answer. It's like minority communities suffer. Who is there less of in this city? Hispanic, Jew, or Asian?
Who there's less of?
Who has a smaller community?
Jew.
All right.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's next?
Asian.
Then?
Hispanic.
Okay. Do you know the definition of minority? What would that be, Drew?
Smaller population.
Okay. So when you're saying this affects disproportionately the minority population, then I'm assuming you mean the groups that are underrepresented. How are the Asians represented as far as the city council goes or the senators or the state or the city at the local level? You think the Asians are represented equally with their community? I think they're very underrepresented, but yet they seem to be thriving. So how does this work? And then again, can we just go ahead and change minority to something a little less insulting to minorities? Because now it's confusing because you say it disproportionately affects the minority communities, except for it doesn't disproportionately affect the minority community. It disproportionately affects some minority communities, but not the others. And then Whitey's just in the middle watching a ping pong tournament, confused. So let's try to figure this out. And if the systemic racism thing is not working, then maybe we have another, maybe there are other channels to pursue.
Okay.
That's me.
Okay.
I like that. I like to live in a world.
Passage to pursue?
Oh, no.
From the Times? This is awesome. Drew's scared, but go ahead.
So glad I brought this up.
Poverty or lack of opportunity may be forcing women to exchange sex for resources, leading to the spread of STDs, Northover said. There also tends to be a mistrust
of opportunity.
There also tends to be a mistrust of the medical system amongst African Americans, making them reluctant to seek care.
Yep.
This is the one I think is going to get you.
Uh-oh.
Certain neighborhoods may be excluded from access to health care because of geography or finances.
Geography. They're living in the bottom of the Grand Canyon where everyone else around them is just in the they're in the Miracle Mile up on Wilshire off of La Brea. Yeah, they don't have access because geographically. Where's County USC? Somebody should figure out how far is South Central from County USC versus where I grew up in North Hollywood when I'd have to then drive myself to County USC.
That's a lot further.
Where I live?
Oh, yeah.
But wait a minute. Oh, but I was born on third base with my white privilege and my pickup truck. Like, what? Then I have access, Drew.
Oh.
It's starting to, these little stupid, you know, access. They like to do, don't have or opportunity. Everyone has opportunity here. It's a great country. Get to work. Or, again, not sure. Systemic racism. These people have no idea how much damage they're causing to those communities. Being told there's systemic racism, the most bitter poison they could ever take. Go ahead, Drew.
Nightstand, NYTSTND.
Yeah.
Perhaps you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Apple Watch, tons of cables all over the place. Well, with Nightstand, it's a one-plug solution. You can charge 2 to 10 devices at the same time. They charge wirelessly and with built-in cables. It was featured in Better Homes and Gardens. Nightstand, NYTSTND, is the number one charging station on Etsy. And it's made in America, not anywhere else, not in China. Plus, Nightstand products have free 2-day chip shipping. So if you got all that crap strewn out on your nightstand or on your – even I've got stuff accumulates on my kitchen table. Get Nightstand. Get it all in one place. 2 to 10 devices, able to charge them all wireless and built in at the same time. And we have an exclusive sale for our listeners, 15% off any order of any size with promo code ADS at checkout. Go to nightstand.com. That is NYTSTND. And get that 15% off with the promo code ADS at checkout, nightstand.com. Simplify your charging.
Ooh, what? Gary, you got to go to North Hollywood. Just go to Laurel and Magnolia. Thank you.
Why?
See how far to get to County USC to see if this is a geographical problem.
As compared to?
South Central to County USC, where I used to go, versus North Hollywood. Because I could have a geographical advantage here, Drew. The LA Times may very well be right. You could go to MLK.
Hold on.
It's 8 miles from South Central and 15.7 from where my apartment was.
How far? How far from South Central to MLK?
All right.
Because that's like 6 miles, and that's right.
Well, either way, it's twice as far as I drove. So I figure they could do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, but they don't have my privilege. David, my privilege to drive a pickup truck. 44 San Diego.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
What's going on?
I have a question for you. Maybe not the best form question, but you talk a lot about Sonny and how he's kind of wired as being a wuss. And
Hold on. He's a puss.
Not a wuss, but a puss. And he was created in the lab, too, to be fair. It's not just wired that way.
Mm-hmm. 7.3 miles south central to MLK, so that's not a big time saver.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I finally kind of got my life together in my late 30s, and one of the discoveries I made was just how much of a – how I was wired and kind of looking at my dad and how he's wired, and we kind of have that same kind of wuss or puss wiring. And I'm just curious if you've seen any changes in Sonny since he's kind of entering that preteen age. I'm well behind you. I've just had a three-month-old, and I'm just kind of now being confronted with the fact that I'm a new dad and a little later in life and just kind of wanting to instill some grit, maybe not at 3 months.
And hang on. What is this wiring in you? Describe it to me.
Well, I look at my dad. His dad took off when he was 10 years old and left him with his mother and two older sisters who he was raised by, so he never had a dad at a critical time in his life. And then my dad's a great guy. He's just wired kind of like a chick.
Okay, well, so far that's a complete non-answer of the question. Describe to me what you mean by wired like that in yourself.
Well, my Uncle Tim was a merchant marine. He had a different wiring than me.
Because talking to you, you don't get the sense of what it is you're talking about. So what exactly do you mean by that? And you've already undermined your argument by saying the environment created your dad's issue. So it's non-genetic, environmental. What is it that you have that you consider non-grit?
I would say it's really kind of an emotional side.
That can be very powerful. Being emotional is very, very powerful at being in touch with your emotions.
It's lack of decisiveness, lack of, standing up for oneself.
Okay. So assertiveness issues. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how do you feel? I don't know. Hold on a second.
I'm that way.
I'm not that assertive.
I'm not.
But you're pretty assertive about not being assertive.
Strangely enough.
You said it twice. I'm not assertive.
Low self-esteem and non-assertiveness.
Super assertive about not being assertive. You'll jump right in about
it. Maybe I could
Someone ever accuses Drew of being assertive, he'll jump in and settle their hash right quick. So, Drew.
Yeah.
When you make a decision.
Yeah.
Like you take someone like Jimmy Kimmel. When Jimmy Kimmel says, here's what I think and here's what I want, every being in his fiber believes it's going to happen.
Mm.
And it's the right decision. And it mostly is. His batting average was probably worse than it is now in the years past, but he's worked on it throughout the years. And now it's like when he says something in his mind, it's exactly what he wants and exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way about most things I say. I do not have a belief that this thing's necessarily going to work just because I said I wanted it to work. But when I am talking to someone about building something or an order to do something or what the plan is or we're going to engineer it or whatever it is, I feel super clear that I'm going to arrive where I want to arrive with it. Is that the way you feel about most things in life?
Some things very much that way and some things not so much.
Like what?
Like if I were to talk about building or something, I don't know a lot about, I'd be like, ugh. But things I know, and there's like it's like psh, forget it, I know it.
But also, do not like the Porcelain Punisher told me the other day last flight out of Indy, 5:20 on a Sunday. That seems too early to watch the Indianapolis 500, and you might be leaving Monday morning. And I said, let's break it down. And we broke it down. And once we broke it down, we just arrived right where we needed to arrive. Race starts about 12:20, lasts about 3 hours and change. How far is the airport from the track? How fast can I get there?
No, 14 that's why minutes. I think
just kind of boom, boom, boom. And then it turned out to be the just, right time.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's an easy path to go down. Most of the time, your wife's this way. Mm-hmm. My wife's somewhat this way. A lot of people are this way. You say, look, let's find out what time the race starts so we can find out. And then they jump in with a fear. They go, you missed that last flight. You're not, you're stuck at the airport. And they go, hold on. I want to know what time the race starts.
Right.
Yeah, I'm saying you don't want to miss that last flight. Right, like, there's a lot of those people that are like, nobody said we wanted to miss the last flight. We want to find out what time the race starts. And then they go, it's at 3:20. And then you go, how long does the race last? And I go, you can't tell with yellow flags and restarts. I go, average time in Indianapolis 5. We'll use the average time. We will assume that this is not going to set a record for quickest or slowest. This will be, it'll be 3 hours and 3.5 hours. Okay. So here we are. We've added 3 hours. Also, don't have to stay the whole race.
Mm-hmm.
I get to leave whenever I want.
If you have to, yeah.
Now, how far is the average? Now, people, Matt doesn't do this. He thinks I'm talking about him. But what I'm saying is, I've dealt with people that just jump in. They go like, hey, you can hit traffic out of that parking lot. I go, we'll factor that in. As a matter of fact, we'll leave before the end of the race so we don't hit the traffic on the way. How far is the airport now from, well, on any given Sunday or on race night? Okay, yeah, that's a good question. We'll tack on a little extra time for that. And then we'll get to it, and then we'll move on. A lot of people don't want to go. They don't want to go down that road, which is a weird thing because to me, that's the only road I want to go down. And then at a certain point, we'll lock it off, and then I'll never think about it again. I'll feel supremely confident that that's how it's going to work.
Right?
Why is that not?
That's just judgment.
That's judgment.
Yeah, you have good judgment. You have to have done it a few times, you know, it's really...
But my feeling is I don't want to rely on my judgment. I just want to go dissect the thing, and then we'll get an answer.
But it's you build your argument off of things, you know, that you need to make the judgment, to make the call. And the call is based on a bunch of information, and you broke down the information you need, and then you make the call.
Okay.
So?
All right. Now, let's talk to Helen. How do you give people judgment?
Well, now you're into a thing that bothers me every day because people are gravely confused in this country the difference between knowledge, information, and wisdom or judgment. And judgment comes from experience.
But what about systemic racism and giving out judgment where you just won't give it to people of color?
Give it out. But that's why my peers have begun to hang a little saying on their wall that says, please do not confuse your Google search with my medical training, which was experiencing these things that you're just seeing for the first time on your Google search, seeing it in a clinical setting thousands of times, and that gives you judgment about it.
What is what's with everyone in their weird fears and things and sort of proclamations like being grafted on to your attempts to break things down from a judgment standpoint? Like I feel
if you don't
like
have judgment and you don't trust the other person's judgment just because you don't trust generally usually, then you're anxious and you start, you know, heading you off the path. No, we got to do this. We got to do that.
Do you know how many times like I've had the conversation with people where I went like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to first off, we're going to find out if they make an aftermarket part that'll fit. Hey, you have to have the original. Let me finish. We got to find out if there's an aftermarket part
let's break it all down. So that other person
then,
has never had any other experience except than the market piece, right?
Right.
So,
but who's so the rich guy who owns the building?
Hold on. So they've had no judgment, no experience, no wisdom or confidence that that's possible.
Understood.
You have confidence in redoing stuff on your own.
I'm not condemning them for not having the wisdom or the judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
Condemning them for not shutting the fuck up while I'm talking.
But that's not trusting you. That's what that is.
Then don't trust me in your heart like I do with Armenians. But don't voice it. You know what I'm talking about, Drew?
I have seen you with Mark Yargos, yeah.
Yes. I don't trust him in my heart, but I don't voice it.
I could tell.
Okay?
I've been thinking that for a while. Thank you for confirming.
Just think
that.
It. Think, well, this guy's nuts, but let me finish. Because maybe I know something.
Yeah.
And maybe if you look around and you see where my name could be on the building, even though I'm too modest to do that, maybe I knew something. Maybe I figured something out.
So it makes me think about all the oppositional defiant type you have around you. And at their core, they don't trust.
Oh, no. They don't
Isn't
trust.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, they don't. It's a weird.
They also don't listen. It's both.
It's a weird thing. Now, it's weird. Like, you wouldn't call my mom oppositional and defiant, but she is very oppositional and defiant.
Yeah.
You think of
She's
it as
like
a loud. You think of it in a loud way.
No, there's a passive aggressive version of it.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Her and my dad are the quietest version of that you'll ever find.
Yeah,
but they're still
passive defiance.
They just don't do what you ask them to do, or actually, sometimes what you ask them to do, but other times we just go, "Here's my opinion, and here's what you should do." They just don't do it, but. It seems like most people are that way to me.
But a lot of people these days. But and think of your parents. I mean, you then telling them something become an authority figure, and think of their relationships with authority figures through their life and childhood. Not good.
Sort of.
Right? And then think about how they dealt with society. The man. The man was out to get them. The man was out.
I would tell this the 1800th time, though. My dad is not a hippie.
I was thinking about your mom mostly, yeah.
Is a hippie. Yeah. My dad's just...
But he also, I don't really, his relationship with his family of origin, I don't fully understand yet, but...
I don't think he'd had one.
Well,
here's how close he was with his brother. I noticed your brother's name tag on his army uniform says Ralph Carollo. Huh. Yeah. And you go by Jim Carolla. Yeah. Why is that? I don't know. All right. Seems like something you might know. Not a story, original name, or something. It's a weird It's a weird default setting. Like, who? Yeah. I don't know. Why? Like, I don't know. Seems weird. Other people's names are weird. But again, look no further than my grandma. Like,
Buddhists have to work very hard to get like that.
Hey, he's born on Third Buddhist Base. He said to my grandma, your mom calls you Helen, not Mom. Is that... Is that something you think about? Why? I mean, like when you're at a party or something, and she goes, Helen, not Mom. Yeah, it's my name. Yeah, but like when she was young, you know, when she was like young, calling you Helen, not your mom. Is that embarrassing or seem uncomfortable or something? No. Why? Wow. Okay. There you go. Done and done. Your brother killed himself in the house. Does that feel weird moving in? Why? Some people have thoughts about that. How come?
God, it's a shame you don't like talking about your family wars. Those stories would be very interesting if you just share them with us once in a while.
It's a crazy story. It's that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Drew.
Yep.
I got a thought for you.
Tell me.
First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Mm. Over 1 million children were victimized. By identity theft fraud, 2017, most common perpetrator, family friend, everybody. With no financial history, kids are susceptible to new account frauds, and they won't find out until years later when they apply for a credit card or a loan. Imagine that. Let's not let that happen to your kids. Let's get them LifeLock. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. And once they get in, you are kaput. New LifeLock identity theft protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and help protect your devices you can't see or fix on your own. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. They're the best. They're LifeLock, Drew.
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam for an additional 10% off.
Tomorrow, the Agora Theater, Cleveland, Ohio.
We take a call before we finish up.
Oh, we take a call. I didn't know you had something in front of you there. Which line? Sorry,
Helen.
Line 3. I want to talk to Helen. Hey, Helen.
Hey.
Yeah, that's my grandma's name.
Hmm. You don't hear too many Helens anymore.
No, it's also my mother-in-law's name.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of both of them for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Well, I have an issue where I have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot stop eating cake and ice cream and cookies, junk in general. And while I'm eating it, I'm telling myself, you know, you shouldn't be eating this, but something's wrong in my head. I can't stop.
Right. I mean, so some people would conceptualize this as food addiction or carbohydrate addiction because you are going to die from this, right? Just like any other addiction, it has consequence. And you need to go cold turkey. You know, like, do you have the ability to... I mean, one thing that people do is if your food is prepared for you, if you feed people, they tend to stick to a diet. Is there anywhere you could get something like that going?
Well, I'm broke, so probably not.
No.
Hey, Helen, I'm not claiming to be wired exactly like you, but in particular, I don't have this relationship with carbs. Carbs are tough for me, but with the sugar and the treats and the sweets, if you can get off, you can get off.
You can't. You have to really decide to, though.
What I'm saying is it is really hard for me to completely get off the rice and the pasta, like a little mixed in with the meat or the whatever.
It's hard, yeah.
But with the desserts, I can just keep walking. Like, because once it's on, like once you open that box of candies, it's kind of hard.
Yes, and that's why it has to be cold turkey. But usually this is some emotional regulation issue, too. You know, like, you can't regulate.
There's also a little shame spiral that kicks in, which is once you pop that first See's candy in your mouth, you just go, screw it, it's on.
Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. So, Helen, it seems like that's what's happening with you, a kind of a weird shame spiral sort of cycle.
Yeah, you're right, because I could go like 2 or 3 days and do real good, and then the one day I start, it's like a binge mass from hell. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, there's a thing that I've always kind of dealt with within myself, and I've always dealt with other people as well, that never really worked with other people, but I could sort of do it myself, which is I pop the candy, the See's box of candies, because I just happen to love those. Mm. I pop the one in my mouth. I stop for a minute and
spit
go...
it out. Nope.
Sorry. Shut up. I stop for a minute and I go, I shouldn't have done that. And then there's a part of me that goes, well, I guess it's on. And then there's another part of me that goes, wait a minute. You just ate one piece of candy. Now move on. And you can do that. If you can do that and stop, if you cannot have it switchy, I guess it's on.
Well, it sounds like she has binge eating disorder. So you might want to look up binge eating disorder online and treatments for that. There's actually even medications for it. It's of a life-threatening importance that you deal with it. And even though you're broke, there are medical services. And see if you can get somebody that has some experience, even online, treating binge eating disorder. Check it out.
All right. Drew, what do you got over there?
I got MSRP. I got all kinds of other confusing names like invoice and list price and dealer price, things to keep you off balance so the salesman can work you. But with TrueCar, there's none of that. There's only true price. They have now true price from TrueCar, so you'll know exactly what you're going to pay. That includes fees and accessories. You'll know it all before you ever get to the dealership. And you know the true price is a great price because TrueCar shows you what other people paid. So you see the marketplace. You see what's a fair price for the car you want. You lock in that price. You know it's including the fees and accessories, so it's a true price. It's a fair price because it's a market value. And certified dealers set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So you know it's a very competitive and good price. That's for an actual vehicle on a TrueCar certified dealer's lot. So you're going to get this easier, confident buying experience. And you got to remember that whether it's new or used, when you are ready to buy a car, you visit TrueCar and you will enjoy that more confident car buying experience. True price from TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
All right. Now, I was saying, coming up tomorrow, that'll be May 17th, the Agora Theater in Cleveland. Then the next day, outside of Detroit, Royal Oak Music Theater. And that'll be this Friday. Live shows all around coming up, Portland, Atlanta, Aladdin Theater in Portland. Second show tickets available. That's you know. You go to amcarolla.com and find out. Doing a show at Flappers out here. Jimmy's going to be with me on that one. Lots of good stuff to check out. Also, you want to check out Chassis. Lots of good movies there. CHASSY. the cruise, Corolla Drinks, the Podcasting Masterclass, it's all there. And let's not forget Starving for Attention. That would be a new podcast with celebrity chef Richard Blaze. And that is every Tuesday on Podcast One. Drew, what do you got?
Hey, on the Dr. Drew podcast, got calls this one. People like those call-in episodes. And listen, I'll do more of those. I know there's been a sort of a call out to do more Loveline-esque stuff, which I'm happy to do. It's very, very simple for me to answer those kinds of questions, so do call in for them. Check out the YouTube page, the Facebook stuff. We got a lot of stuff at DrDrew.com.
All right. So until next time, I'm Pro with Dr. Drew. Say mahalo.